Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. Takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Last week in our study of James chapter 4, we were talking about not being able to submit to God because we are not familiar with the Word of God. Let's continue with that today.
It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble.
I will plant my feet on His firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
Now Jesus showed us the manner in which we are to resist the devil. When He was tempted of the devil in the wilderness, He said each time, "It is written, it is written, it is written." Now, that calls for familiarity with the Word of God, as well as a submission or an obedience to the Word of God. Now, too often we have busy schedules, responsibilities, amusements, TV, and just plain old spiritual lethargy. And it robs the believer from the blessings of God's Word. He does not submit to God in these areas because he's not really familiar with the Word of God. He's not really familiar with the will of God, and therefore he can't submit. And the sad result is Satan does not flee him because he's not drawing nigh to God. Now remember, it takes submitting and resisting to have victory. Submitting calls for humility. On our part, resisting calls for trusting God as we set out to do what God would have us to do. In Ephesians 4:27, it says, "Neither give place to the devil." Satan needs a foothold in our life if he's going to fight against God through us, his children. If we do not submit to God first and resist the devil, we give Satan a stronghold in our daily life. Now, by the way, devil is defined as accuser. When we see the context of the book of James and the problems of the tongue that are listed, we can see how the devil wants to use our tongue against other believers. That is accusation. Remember how it worked even in the beginning? When God said to Adam, "Who told you you are naked? Have you eaten of that fruit of the tree?" What was Adam's response? Was it, "Yes, Lord, I messed up"? No. His response was, "This woman you gave me." Adam was accusing the woman and God. God looked at Eve. "Is this true?" Eve says, "Well, this serpent beguiled me." A poor serpent didn't have anybody else to turn to, okay? But nonetheless, we find that all three were accusers. The serpent had accused God to Eve. Now, verse 8 tells us here of James chapter 4, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." Now, that carries the promise that it's not a hopeless religious exercise, because he will draw nigh to you. When the term "draw nigh" is used of approaching God or coming near him, it refers to communion with God in prayer. And friend, that is different than submission in verse 7. But understand, you cannot draw nigh to God if you're not willing to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, many believe prayer is the most prominent element in drawing nigh to God. However, I believe we should commence with the Word of God and then pray according to the Scriptures. In submitting, we are submitting to the will of God, which is revealed to us by the Word of God. John 17 and verse 17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Now, do you understand what he's saying there? The pure, precious word of God is truth. And we're sanctified by it. We're set apart by it. Therefore, we need to study it, not to try to twist it to fit our lifestyle. Study it that we might know how to live and pray accordingly. The Bible tells us in Romans 8, 26 and 27, "The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." So again, the intercession of the Spirit of God is based on the will of God. So therefore, if we're going to have a good prayer life, if we're going to have an effective prayer life, the righteous, fervent, effectual prayer that we should have, then we're going to have to be submitted to the Word of God. We're going to have to be submitted to our Lord and become men and women of God's Word. It's unfortunate that we have so many preachers resorting to turning their studies into clinics where sentimental and emaciated peace-of-mind gimmicks are used to resolve inner tension and restlessness. They use their positive thinking therapy. It is sad and a failing drug to cover the real need of drawing nigh and submitting unto God with lifelong commitment. Isn't that kind of like pain relievers? Sometimes a doctor will give you a pain reliever, and it does relieve the pain for a while, but once the reliever wears off, the pain is there because it has not healed anything. It's only covered the pain. It hasn't removed the source. And so much of what goes on in preaching and teaching today is psychologically and philosophically based, and as a result, it is only like a drug that kind of knocks us out for a little bit, but it doesn't remove the source of the pain. And he goes on and he says, "Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded." Now, why would he say that here in verse 8? Well, as stated earlier in this study, James is written to save Jews. And this particular statement is very familiar to them. Cleansing your hands would picture for them the Old Testament tabernacle as the priest would wash their hands at the laver before entering the tabernacle. Then they would offer the sacrifice upon the altar. And that would show the purifying of the heart or the payment for sin. Cleansing the hands speaks of an outward cleansing, those sins of the flesh. But then the offering on the altar is a purifying, which speaks of the inward cleansing, the sins of the inner man. So the first step towards God that will draw us nigh unto him is confession of sin and forsaking it, whether that sin is of the hands or the heart. We must purify our hearts and put away anything that prevents us from having a close walk with God. Some of you may have a hobby. You may have a sport. You might have something of TV. It may be something else. And you're so involved in it. And the thing that you're involved in may not be dirty and filthy in and of itself, but it takes you away from God. You won't commit to serving the Lord in your local church, or you don't have devotions, a personal walk with God. And it comes down to a fact that these other things are occupying a great place in your life. My friend, we need to confess those things and forsake those things, because this is a real problem today. We must purify our hearts and put away anything that prevents us from having a close walk with God. Now, my friend, deep in our heart, we know what those things are that prevent us from walking with God as we should. And this is no small matter before God. Now, remember, He is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, the word confess there has not only the idea of admitting them, but forsaking them. So He says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that a wonderful Savior? What a wonderful Savior we have. Now let me reread James 4:8-10 again. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Now, let's consider this term, you double-minded, that's used here in verse 8. This term was also used in chapter 1 in verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. This is a person who one moment is expressing love for God, and the next moment, he's living worldly. Well, that's a person that is double-minded. He wants to be religious. He wants to be cool and acceptable to the respectable world, but nonetheless, it's still the world. Notice these words in verse 8. Sinners. Sinners is defined as heinous and habitual sinner. And it must be kept in the context of worldliness, the flesh, and the devil. That war with the devil. It's not just things as murder, adultery. Purify, in verse 8, is to consecrate. It deals with an aspect of holiness, whereas cleansing of the hands deal with the outward man. The outward man speaks of submission and works of righteousness. The inward man speaks of holiness. This begins to bring the terms of verses 7 and 8 together and the intent God has for our victory. You see, we are totally dependent on Him. Victory is impossible in and of ourselves. Therefore, a Christian cannot have selfish ego. And my friend, is your heart being purified before God? Yea, is your heart right with God? This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the Sermon Library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.